Caterpillar's Dilemma by Scott Augustson. Sometimes when I say, "I am so sorry, that must have been difficult for you," I give you my raw sympathy. Like a mother bird, I am dropping a worm of sympathy into your mouth. I am rubbing a soothing balm of sympathy into the open wound of your grief. I say all of that kindness, but what I want to say is, really? How awful! Why don't you pull up a chair and tell me everything? Spare me not a single detail. I am not now, nor have I ever been squeamish, not in the least. Tell me, when they cut out your mother's cancer, what else did they remove? Did you get to keep it in a jar? Did you take a selfie with the scar? When your lover left, did he tell you why? Did he make it perfectly clear how unlovable you are? When you said accident, what was it you meant? Automobile? Industrial? Overdose? Did she die at the scene or in an ambulance on the way to False Hope Hospital? Were you secretly glad in a small shabby corner of your small shabby soul when they died? Breathe a sigh of relief at your lightened load? Splurge on a pedicure? Did you wait for Helen the hospice nurse to slip out for a smoke and then help hurry along the hand of death? Was it ugly? Was it expensive? Did you wake up at 3 in the morning, 3 a.m., and just cry? And just out of curiosity, did your father throw all of his left shoes in the trash? Or did he seek to find them a new home, another foot for his sinister sneakers? These unasked questions I don't dare to voice. I'm not gloating. I'm not gleeful. I'm not some buzzard bestride your broken body. Your pain does not entertain me. It isn't your pain at all that fascinates me. It is the change. How did you survive? Why did you survive? Did you survive? I need to know. Because change is coming for me. And I'm at a loss to handle the loss that comes with change. My arms are already full of the grocery bags of life, and people are strapped to my back, and there is a basket balanced on my head. I don't have a hand free to hold the loss. God is always closing doors and then opening windows. But life is not a house, and there is no God. If you go to Facebook on any given day, you will see scoldy box after scoldy box telling you to embrace change. And there is a butterfly, not a real butterfly, a clip art or a JPEG of a butterfly, the very icon of change, as if a caterpillar, tired of crawling about, said, "Yup, it's time," and then climbed into its cocoon for modesty's sake and put on a pair of beautiful fashioned forward wings like you or I might slip on a rhinestone jacket. It doesn't happen that way. Once the cocoon has been spun, the caterpillar's body betrays. It releases enzymes that begin to break down the caterpillar's flesh. It dissolves in what surely must be an agonizing process, like a corrosive shower from within. Only thing, when everything of the old is gone, only once it is but a sticky gray goo, unrecognizable, indistinct. And have I said sticky? Only then can the butterfly be built. The caterpillar never gets to meet the butterfly. And what if, after all that loss and indignity, what emerges is not a gorgeous, magnificent monarch? What if it is a powdery, disgusting moth? Seems to me, when it comes to change, there's 10 ways to go wrong for every right. Who'd take those odds? Only a sucker. So, the hour is late, and I am just going to ask you, who have been dismembered by metamorphosis, rendered unrecognizable by catastrophe, bathed in the swimming pool of sorrow, stripped of everything you thought could never be taken from you, broken to bits, you sit here today, reassembled, smiling, And is that a new sweater? It looks great on you. You have made it through the tunnel, or so I think. So. My question is, was it worth the price? Was it worth the fuss? There may be no going back. But there is also no obligation to go forward.